podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast. This is Chris. I'm out walking with Buddy the Wonder Dog. He's been inside all week. He's been all cooped up, so here's what you got to picture. I'm walking through my neighborhood now, and welcome to episode 51. Walking through my neighborhood, I got my handheld recorder, got the dog on a leash, and, I got my notes in my hand. I'm reading them, and I'm wearing my headlamp, my running headlamp, so neighbors are going to think I'm a whack job. So I'm going to talk a little hushed here, in the hushed emotive tones. Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Run and Live podcast. I already said that. This is where I, your humble host, amateur runner, and mediocre endurance athlete, Chris, your personal Mr. Magoo of the mid-pack, gets to share with you, my friends and fellow mid-packers, one might say movers and shakers of the mid-pack, you denizens and citizens of the mid-pack. I get to share with you about various and sundry running topics that I find interesting, evidently in long-winded run-on sentences. It's quiet out here. Nothing out here. It's about 5. I've got to go somewhere between 0 and minus 5. No wind. It's got stars. You can see. It's so dry. You can see forever. It's beautiful. Since I have enough trouble keeping my own attention here, I'm going to find for you some interesting and informed persona from our running world to talk. And today is the Yak Tracks episode. And I'm going to give you my personal review. And I'm going to interview Steve, the VP of sales from Yak Tracks. This is a product I just started using last week, and I liked it. I like it a lot. You know, they're not going to end war or cure cancer, but they do what they say they do. And with that's to keep you from slipping and falling on your posterior. It's a good talk with Steve. I think you'll like to get something out of it. I'm also going to post a written review up on the website. Come on, buddy. Come here. Come on. Easy. Easy, bud. There's a car. Good boy. Up on runrunlive.com. See my on my blog. I'll put the review. And by the way, I don't get paid anything by these folks that I'm talking to. I'm non-commercial. I'm a non-commercial enterprise. If I like the products, I'll try to speak well of them. And I'm typically interfacing, you may have noticed, with some commercial or PR person, so it gets salesy sometimes. But, you know, I figure you guys are smart enough to sort out the good bits from the pitches, the wheat from the chaff, so to speak. If you've been watching news, you will know that we are in the grips of a midwinter cold snap. It's been like 0 to -5 degrees all day here. And Buddy the Wonder Dog and I have not ventured outside all week. I mean, I don't want to hurt the poor little guy. He's very tender. So he's been losing miles in the doggy challenges to those other doggies. So I got most of my runs in this week, but I got them in on the treadmill. Missed one on Wednesday because I was just so busy. It's just crazy. Everybody's coming back from work, all my clients. And that's okay. I'm not whining. I'm pretty psyched about my training right now. And I'm right on track for my marathon training. I actually got 47 miles in last week. Because my long runs overlapped. I did a Sunday long run and a Saturday long run, so they both ended up in the same week. Yeah, I felt pretty good. No aches and pains. Now, I'm going to talk to you a little bit at the end of the show in the quick tip about what to expect when you go through these parts of your training, the ups and downs, and really how to deal with the perception of, you know, the what your brain's telling you versus the reality, and you know, how not to get tricked by your own perception of your condition. You may have seen my tweets on Twitter this week that I signed up for 2 spring marathons, the first one being the Georgia ING, or as I like to say, ING Marathon in Atlanta on March 28th. And Jason, Sean, if you're listening, I figure what I'm going to do is I'm going to jog beside you guys and hurl insults at you for 26 miles like a drill sergeant. So I hope you're okay with that. Or maybe run like little circles around you, make fun of you, taunt you. So So anyhow, I also signed up for the Boston Marathon, 113th running of the Boston Marathon on the 20th of April. And believe it or not, this is my 11th Boston Marathon. It's crazy, isn't it? And so if you're planning on running either of those races, let me know. We'll meet up. I'll be the old husky, hairy, annoying guy trying to chat up all the people around me while they're trying to run. This weekend I'm going to do an easy 15 miler. Next weekend I'll run the fabulous Derry 16 miler. Look that up and look at the course profile. It's just hilariously hilly. That's its wrap up here, you know, for it's got catastrophic winter weather and just silly hilliness. And then we start getting into some real miles after that. The old body's holding together pretty well, so I got that going for me. I'm heading into another travel period with my job, heavy travel period. All my clients have woken up, like I said, from their holiday naps. Now, everybody wants everything next week, so you guys will have to bear with me. If I've forgotten to mention it, thank you for listening. You know, I really appreciate the opportunity to spend some quality time with you. And, you know, would love to connect with you directly, so search Facebook for Chris Russell in Massachusetts and send me an invite with a kind, personal message, and then we will become BFFs, all right? And folks, if you have time, you can do me a favor and, you know, tell your friends about the podcast. And if you're feeling charitable, you can leave me a review on iTunes. And if you have questions, I'll take a shot at giving you the wrong answer. You can always email them over or post them or write them on my wall or whatever. Tweet them to me. So that's it. Enjoy the episode. On with the show.
And now for the equipment check.
I talked to Steve about the Yak Tracks, but I figured I'd give you my review of them first. These are great little devices here. They're like steel spring coils that you strap to the bottom of your shoes, and they make like an X or a diamond shape on the bottom of the shoes, and they have like rubber with coils in them, and they grip the snow as you run. And ironically, my new Yak Tracks came and were delivered as I was out running in 4 inches of slush. I was thinking to myself, geez, I could really use those. I wish they'd come. And they showed up. And then, even more ironic, this is like the perfect testing weather for these things, is it froze over, and it was like 4 inches of frozen, hostile ice and snow and stuff. And, sorry, dog's pulling. Hey, where are we going there, Chester? Huh? What's the hurry? Where's the fire? No fire tonight. So me and Buddy went out and said, okay, we'll try out these new Yak Tracks in this horrible ice. And they were great. I mean, they really were. The way I run, you know, I run kind of 4 foot. Once I got used to them, I put them on my old trail shoes, and they fit great, nice and snug. And once I got used to them, my mechanics were about the same as running on dirt. The only time I wiped out was when I planted on one corner on the midsole where the X's cross and there isn't as much. Like, that's the lowest traction area. I tested them on the tar. And they weren't bad for short periods. They didn't feel too bad, especially with the trail shoes. They didn't slide around at all. And I put 12 miles into them first day. And I tested them in the dirt, and they were great. They didn't, you know, I had a little bit of tiredness in some, like, sides of my knees and stuff. But that was probably more from running on the ice and running on the Yak Tracks. So, and the next day we had a snowstorm, and I ran on them in the snowstorm on the roads. And they don't grip as well into deep snow. They're not really designed for that. But they do give you a pretty good grip when you're running in that sort of inch or two of slushy marshmallow snow by the side of the road. So it worked out real well, and I really like them. Hope you enjoy the interview.
And now for our featured interview.
Steve.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good. We're back. We're sort of kind of live here.
Okay.
Good
to be
really
with you this morning.
Live recorded. Yeah, it's freezing up here. It's good Yak Tracks weather. And last weekend I went out, I got a pair of Yak Tracks Pro and dropped them on my shoes on Saturday and went out and ran 12 miles in the woods. And some people had told me after I told them I did that, they said, you probably shouldn't do that, you know, when you get something new like that, you probably shouldn't take them out and run 12 miles in them. But they were great. We had, like, the perfect storm for Yak Tracks last week up in Massachusetts where you had the freezing rain and slush, and then it all froze over and made sort of like a Arctic iciness, which is perfect for the grip. So tell us who you are and what you do, Steve.
Well, Chris, my name is Steve Coudere, and I'm the VP of Sales for Yak Tracks. So basically my job is running the brand for M Plus Foot Care and overseeing not only sales, but involved in product development as well. So we've been doing this since about 2000 that YakTrax has been in business.
Yeah, and it was just recently the transaction where they were purchased by Implus, yeah?
Yeah, this May it'll be 3 years.
Oh, 3 years.
By
okay.
Implus, yeah.
Because I think the product was originally out of Oregon? Is
you
that
know,
right?
Actually, the company started out of Bremerton, Washington.
Okay.
And I actually still run the brand from Port Orchard, Washington.
Okay.
So,
well, you're not talking to me from Washington, because if you were, it would be, 2:30 in the morning, so.
Yeah, I wouldn't be quite as alert as I am right now. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, the brand does have has its origins in the Northwest. The brand took off pretty quickly once we got it going and got it into the marketplace, and I think people have just been real receptive to a safe and user-friendly traction device. I don't know, do you want me to kind of give you some background on how they came up with the product today?
Yeah, if you could, tell me how YakTrax came about, and then we'll talk a little bit about how they work, because I have some firsthand experience.
Okay. Well, it has some pretty interesting origins. The gentleman who came up with the concept, he's a pretty avid hiker, and he took a trip to the Himalayas and was trekking at some of the lower elevations, and he had a couple of Sherpa guides that were helping him out, and he noticed he was wearing some crampons, some big metal spikes that they use for climbing and heavy-duty trekking, and
yep.
He noticed that the guides that he was working with at those lower elevations were wearing a knotted leather attachment that they kind of slipped over the sole of their shoe. So there was no sharp spikes.
Right.
They were basically relying on the edges of these leather knots to drive those knots into the ice and snow when they walked. So it was basically the force of their stride was forcing those knots into the ice and snow to give traction. And he thought, you know, that was a pretty unique concept for traction in ice and snow. And he thought, if I could emulate that in some way and avoid sharp spikes, I think I could have a pretty good product.
Yep.
So he came back to the U.S. and he, you know, tinkered around in his workshop and
couldn't find any caribou tendon, so
exactly
to fall back on good old steel.
Yeah, he didn't bring any yak tendons back with him from the Himalayas, but he came up with a coil based concept, and that's how they kind of came up with the YakTrax name, was because its origins were in the Himalayas. From
yep.
You know what he had seen on the Sherpa, so he came up with the name YakTrax. But the coil-based concept is what he came up with early on, and obviously we've made quite a few modifications over the years. But you know the principle behind it is no different than tire chains. It's just the pounds per square inch applied on the edges of these coils drive them into the ice and snow to provide traction. And what's unique and different is there's no pressure points, there's no hot spots because there's no sharp spikes.
Right.
And it's an even traction from heel to toe. And you probably notice when you're running in them. Unlike spikes, sometimes when you're running on a pair of spikes, they'll tend to grab. So you've got to change your stride somewhat and really exaggerate lifting your feet.
Yep.
With YakTrax, they kind of have what we call a skid lock traction. It hits
right.
the ice, you get a slight slide, and then it grabs. But by doing that, it doesn't inhibit your natural stride, so it allows you to walk or run naturally.
Yeah, and that's why once I got used to the feeling of it, I found I was running in my normal stride, right? I didn't have to adjust much. And, you know, like I said, some people warned me not to go out, you know, you shouldn't, like a new pair of shoes, you shouldn't just go out and do a long run in something you've never tried before. But since my mechanics were fairly, you know, they're the same mechanics I usually use, I didn't get any, like, weird knee problems or ankle problems or, you know, no aches and pains.
Right.
What I found was the way it's like two X's or two diamonds, right?
Correct.
And the front one is right over the forefoot. It's right where you plant your forefoot is where the like sort of the maximum surface area of the coil is right on your forefoot strike, and the rear one is back on your heel a little bit, right?
That's correct.
So if you're a heel striker, it's good because it digs in on the heel when you hit the heel. I'm not a heel striker. I used to be. I'm more of a forefoot runner now, but that was perfect because the maximum traction was right on the forefoot, right where I dig, right? And when I'm normally running in the snow, just in regular trail shoes, I tend to run a lot more flat-footed.
Okay.
Try to maximize the surface area of
raw,
the lug.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't blame you.
But what I found was that with the YakTrax, you don't really want to do that because the only part that has sort of I don't want to say the hole or the weak spot or the less coverage is like right in the midsole where the two coils meet.
Correct.
That's sort of the lowest area of surface area coverage. And I, the only time I went down is when I planted my foot on a piece of slanted ice right on that sort of midsole, and it, you know, it still caught, but it didn't catch enough to keep me vertical, you know. So that's
right.
What I found. But the forefoot strike, I found really comfortable. It was like my normal mechanics, and I could even toe off. When I'm running in my trail shoes in the woods in the snow or the ice, I can't toe off. You have to run sort of flat-footed, right? But with the Yak Tracks, I could toe off. So it was cool.
Well, good. Yeah, we had actually had the military do some testing with our product, and that was one of the things that they found and that they liked was the guys could actually utilize their natural stride. And,
yep.
You know, because that if you change your stride or you have a product that will catch when you're walking, obviously that could lead to additional injuries as well. So
right.
that was one of their biggest concerns, and
right.
we passed
right.
the test with them.
So. Yeah, and I tried that thing before that recently got a lot of press in Runner's World, the thing where you screw the bolts into the lugs of your shoes.
Right.
I didn't have real great success with that. Because what would tend to happen with me, because I'm a big guy, is they would they'd fall out, right?
Right.
But they wouldn't all fall out, just like the one of them would fall out, and then you'd have an uneven grip, you know?
So, yeah, exactly.
So anyhow, some people have great luck with that. I don't. The so explain, like, sort of paint us a visual picture of how the Yak Tracks Pro fits on the shoe and how it affixes and works.
Okay. Well, basically what we've done is we've put four coils on a rubber elastomer in a double diamond pattern. And if you can envision kind of a spider web look, that's almost kind of the look of it, and that covers the outsole of your shoe. And then attached to the perimeter is a rubber outer band that you would hook to the toe, pull back over the heel, and pull up on the sides of your shoe so it surrounds the perimeter of your footwear to ensure that it stays secure on your footwear. And then you've got the coils underneath your sole to provide traction. And then on the Yak Tracks Pro product, we've added what we call a security strap or a performance strap, which is an additional way to secure the product to your shoe. Because some people, when they're running, they might step into crusted snow or deep snow, and we just want to ensure that the product stays securely on your footwear.
Yep.
The nice thing about the product, and you probably realized, is it's so lightweight, you don't
yep.
feel like you're wearing a traction device. And a lot of that is just by the design that's on the outsole. You don't have a lot of extra material there. It's a very lightweight design. In the way that that coil configuration is set up.
Yeah, it didn't feel like, snowshoes or anything, that's for sure.
Right.
The one thing I noticed, I got the large,
uh-huh.
and I guess there's different sizes. There's like
correct.
A small, medium, large?
Small, medium, large, extra large on the Pro.
Yeah, and I'm a size 12 normal size foot, so, it's 12D, and it fit perfect. The large fit perfect. So I was wondering, if I was at size 10, would it be a little loose, or...
Well, if you were size 10, you'd go to a medium, because that'll
right.
fit a medium fits a 9 to 11 shoe size.
Yep.
And then extra large would fit a 14 to 18.
Yeah, because it really grabbed on my, I put it on an old pair of trail shoes. That was the other thing I was thinking about is, what would be the best shoes to put this on? And it fit really snugly. I mean, I don't think I needed the strap at all, except for, when you're saying when you catch your toe underneath a piece of crust or something.
Right.
It might pull the device off. So what kind of shoes do you typically recommend if somebody's out, working out in these things?
Well, typically, if you're doing the trail running, obviously you want to stay in your trail running shoes. But, a lot of people will wear these on their Sorels, on their lightweight winter boots. The nice thing about Yak Tracks is that product that you used for trail running, you could also put it on your dress shoes if you wanted to. You
yep.
can also put it on your casual shoes. It'll adapt to any type of footwear and won't adversely affect that footwear. It won't mark it up. It won't do anything to damage that footwear at all. And that's what's nice about the product is you can buy one traction device that'll work on a variety of footwear. So you could wear it running, but at the same time, if you commuted to work, you could use the product on your work footwear to get to work as well.
Yeah, like I was telling you before, my Yak Track showed up right. They showed up while I was out running in a slush storm, right? When I got back, they were there, and it was kind of ironic, because I was thinking before I went out in the slush storm, I said, boy, I wish I had those Yak Tracks. But what ended up happening was that slush froze, and it created this sort of 4 inches of ice over snow with snow crust, like the worst running conditions, right?
Oh, right.
But perfect Yak Tracks conditions. And then the next day, it actually, not the next day, but 2 days later, we actually then got like 6 inches of powder on top of that. So I get to run on the road in the powder, I get to run in the ice, I get to test them out. And one of the things that struck me as I was walking down my front steps in them, because I have like a stone walkway,
uh-huh.
which I had shoveled the slush off, but it was still frozen, it was like clear ice, is that they would be perfect for, just like you said, like dress shoes, right? So if I'm out in my suit and tie and dress shoes, those things have no traction. And I was saying, these guys should build some sort of... executive galosha with, a lightweight when the snow got a little deeper, they're not as good because they don't have that depth, right? They're not like big crampons or teeth. But the ice was perfect.
And you know, that's the one thing you find with traction devices is it's tough to create a universal product that will work for everything.
Right.
But the thing we have found that's nice about the Actrax is in testing, when you go from ice to, you know, a light snowfall, they're still going to enhance your traction because they're going to work in unison with the lugs.
Yep.
As opposed to, you know, if you, like you said, the screws that you put in your shoe, once you go from ice to snow, those screws aren't going to help you a whole lot in the snow. And with the Actrax, they kind of enhance that lug outsole. But like you said, once you get to the deeper stuff, it's time for the crampon. So.
Yeah, and that's what I found. Yeah, it was sort of ironic to me that I got the new Yaktrax just in time to get, like, four different perfect test conditions, right, before I talked to you. It was like, the perfect storm of test conditions. And so on the crusty, slippery ice, they were awesome. They were perfect, right, because they just have that great grip on the forefoot. Then there's some places where I cross the road, and one of the things that really was worrying me is that, you know, what do these things ride like when you're running on the road or walking on the road, right? And it wasn't as bad as I thought, and part of that was because I was wearing my trail shoes that have the really deep, thick lugs, you know, they're real soft, so they absorbed a lot of the harshness of the ride on the coils when I was on the road. Not that, I'm sure you recommend people, like, just like snow tires, you're not going to wear them on the road, right?
Yeah, you know, the like you said, because of the design, because it's kind of even from heel to toe, you can run on the asphalt and cement, and obviously we know there's going to be transition areas when you're out running or walking where it's going to be cleared of ice and snow.
Right.
But like anything, if you use it excessively on cement or asphalt, you're going to wear through it over time.
Right.
So, you know, we suggest try to keep it on the snow or ice as much as possible. And one of the other things we kind of suggest to people is when you transition into buildings that have tile or smooth floors, you definitely want to get those off of your shoes before you walk on that smoother tile floor because the coils don't have anything to bite or grab into. So you have a tendency to slide. So they're going right on the snow.
And they'll mess up your hardwood floors too.
I would definitely keep them outside.
But they didn't. They don't pick up snow really. You know, it's not like a lot of the thicker lugs like the if you're wearing heavy lug shoes or boots, they'll pick up the snow and sort of get clogged up. I didn't really have that experience either. So they're real good at maintaining that. One thing when I was on the road, there's this one section where I go up a hill and they had dumped a ton of sand and salt, and I found that the Yaktrax actually gave me good grip in the sort of the gritty stuff too on the asphalt, right? Which was interesting. So I got to test them in all conditions.
You did. You know, it was funny. I got a call one day from a gentleman in Hawaii who said he uses Yaktrax over there. And I said, well, why would you use them over there? And he says, well, they're great for trail running on clay.
Yep.
So it's, you know, you hear all different types of stories that people use them for a lot of different conditions. But that was the first time I'd heard it, you know, for something other than really ice or snow.
Is that the craziest one you've heard?
Actually, the craziest was in the last Star Wars movie. There was a scene in there where I guess they had to be walking through some goop and some different substances, and they needed something to give them traction when they were filming, and they actually wore Yaktrax in the movie.
Oh, cool. You probably couldn't see them, though. They were probably like
couldn't see them. Yeah, we didn't really get that that plug from the Star Wars movie, but that was probably the strangest use of the product.
Yeah, and like I said, I only went down once, and I went down taking a corner, and it's when I planted my midfoot on a piece of ice, and that was, you know, that section isn't really where there's a lot of coverage, right? You got to be either on the... So normally when I'm running in the ice, my normal response is to sort of run flat-footed to get more surface area. But that was the only time I went down is when I planted on the midfoot. But other than that, it was perfect. And then the next day it snowed, and we got sort of the deep powder, 6 inches of powder. And, you know, like we talked about, they're not really designed to cut through that really deep powder.
Right.
So it doesn't give you, you know, great traction in a deep powder like a snowshoe would. But it still, it gives you some more stability. And, you know, if you're out running on the road after it snows, there's that sort of slushy, mushy, what some people call like marshmallow snow on the road where they've salted it. And it helps with that. You know, it gives you some traction in that as well. So I went out and did a 10K on the road and I'm in that sort of post-snowstorm marshmallowy stuff. And they work pretty well in that as well.
Well, good. So, yeah, we call that Yaktrax weather. We're glad to have some of it right now.
Yep. This must be the big time of year for pushing these things out. So the part that wraps around the shoe is sort of a carbonized rubber, almost like the kind of carbonized rubber you'd have in the outsole of a shoe, right?
Yes, similar. It's a natural rubber compound,
yep.
And the coils actually on the product are actually a music wire steel. It's one of the strongest steels that you can find that you can actually coil. It's abrasion resistant.
So how long, you know, what kind of mileage or, you know, what's the life estimate on these things, and what happens when they start to wear out?
You know, typically what we tell people is you're going to wear them, you know, a couple of seasons. And the reason that it's a couple of seasons is we found is that typically when somebody wears a pair of traction devices, they're not comfortable. So the minute they get to an asphalt or cement area, they'll take them off.
Right.
With Yaktrax, because it does have an even tread from heel to toe, a lot of people will typically leave them on all day to ensure that they're safe wherever they're, you know, walking around during the day. And as a result of that, it tends to wear through the steel coils quicker,
yeah,
or the elastomer. So, you know, what we typically will tell people is you should be able to get a couple seasons out of the product if you're wearing them regularly. Obviously, if you wear them on asphalt or cement on a regular basis, that's going to diminish the life of the product, but it all depends on if you're running in them or walking in them. And, you know, it, like any product, we try to, it's a balancing act. We try to make sure that they're lightweight and a very good performance product, but at the same time have durability in there that are comfortable, that a customer feels they're going to get value with their purchase.
So what are the different, I get the Yaktrax Pros, which
are
kind of designed for outside sports, right?
Correct.
What are the other flavors that you guys are having the product line?
Okay, well, we've got another product called the Yaktrax Walker, which is more for that person who wants to get around town, walk the dog, get the mail. It's a very safe, lightweight traction device, very similar in design to the Pro, but not as heavy duty. And that was our initial product, and consumers responded to that product so well that they started using them for running and a lot of work activity. So we decided, okay, we need to come with something to step up from that product. That's when we came up with the Yaktrax Pro. And over the last couple of years, we've also come up with a one-size-fits-most product called WinterTrax that we sell to consumers who aren't so concerned about sizes, just want a very lightweight product. So that'll sell in retailers like Famous Footwear, for instance, where they can buy one product and it would work for the mom or it would work for the dad or it would work for the kid. It's a nice universal product.
Sure. And now you said you dabble in the R&D side of the business as well?
Correct.
What's on the horizon? What do you see as the next consumer need that you're going to fill with something?
Well, our next step, what we're working on right now, would be something that would be a step above the Yaktrax Pro. We really feel that we can come up with a product that is better suited for runners from a durability standpoint, from a fit standpoint. So we're working on something that would maybe be more specific for runners. And then something that is just a step above the Pro in terms of durability, because we do a lot of sales with the military, so we're working on some heavier-duty products that we'd really like to sell into the military and some of the heavy industrial settings.
Well, great stuff. I mean, I was out with my dog, and I had better traction than my dog did. and he's got four-wheel drive and toenails, so.
Right. Yeah, no, we hear a lot of that. People were pulled around by their dogs until they got their Yaktrax. Now it's the opposite, so.
Right. All right, he was wiping out in the corners on this ice that we had. That was pretty wild. But, yeah, I was impressed with not just the traction, but the after a while I forgot I was wearing them, right?
Well, that's good.
And that's good, yeah. But, again, I'm an experienced trail runner, right? And I routinely would run in that stuff anyhow, even if I didn't have Yaktrax.
Right.
So I guess I would probably caution somebody who has, you know, been running on the treadmill their whole life from strapping these on and going out in the woods and doing 12 miles, that you're probably going to end up with some aches and pains.
Yeah, like I would, like you said, I would take it easy when you first get out there, but I think you're going to find that you're going to have a lot more confidence when you're out there with the product on your feet.
Yep. How do people find it?
You know, probably the easiest way to find our product would go to our website. It's Yaktrax, that's Yaktrax.com. And if you go on to our retailer link, you can find a list of e-commerce retailers. You can find key in your zip code and find a local retailer in your area. We've got the product in retailers throughout the U.S., everywhere from REI to Dick's to Sports Authority. You'll be able to find our product throughout the United States.
All right, good stuff. Anything else, any events or anything coming up that you want to mention?
Right now, there's no major events. We will be participating in a lot of the big ice fishing events. Obviously, that's a nice little market for us.
Hmm.
But other than that, you know, you'll see the product used at a lot of the big trail running events as well.
Yeah, so you have to have your you have to inaugurate a January race someplace up here.
That's right.
All Yak Tracks.
That's something we'll definitely have to work on.
The Yak Track Trot. Okay. Well, Steve, thank you very much. We'll let
thank
you go.
You, I appreciate it.
I love the product, so I'm glad we hooked up because this is you know not 6 months out of the year, but definitely a couple months out of the year. This can be a pain in the rump for us up here in the north.
Oh, I agree completely, and we appreciate your support, and stay safe this winter.
All right. Have a good one.
Right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
Here's today's quick tips.
Man, it is cold out. Reminds me of Quebec City. Well, if it's this cold here, you know, electrons must have ceased to move in Quebec City tonight. So anyhow, my quick tip for you tonight, I want to give you some understanding of how to keep your perceived fitness level and the corresponding emotions from wrecking your training plans. All right, so typically you start into your training plan, you're all pumped up, you get that, you know, that adrenaline, you're filled with that adrenaline of the new adventure, and you're ready to go, and it's all green and fresh. And then, typically, the next phase is, it starts getting hard, you start getting tired, you get little aches and pains, you don't know what's going on. And, you know, for me, it's the next couple weeks are a week or two of struggle. It's just struggle. And it starts to get hard. I'm not getting any faster, I'm not getting any stronger. And I start getting a little, you know, I feel achy and fat and tired and old. And you get the picture. And this is the first danger point in terms of perception, right? Perception versus reality. Now, at this point, your perception is that, you know, something's wrong. And your big brain tells you, hey, you better change. Something's wrong. You better make a change, you know? So if you're an alpha dude like me, your big brain says something intelligent like, okay, butthead, you're obviously not training hard enough. And you start making plans to do more miles, more speed, more hills, more whatever, right? And if you're, you know, or if you're a beginner, you have some other challenges, your big brain may just tell you, hey, give up. You're making a mistake. You know, just give up. So, you know, both of these solutions are typically a mistake. Your conditioning naturally comes in waves, and you're going to have good waves and bad waves. And that's the whole point of the training effect, is it has to get hard before it gets easy. So you have to get tired so you can get stronger. And if you increase the pressure, increase the miles, like I always feel like doing, you're just going to injure yourself. And, you know, if you give up, you're going to give up right before you start turning the corner, probably, right? So, yeah, it is supposed to hurt sometimes, and you will get a little tired. But if you have the right plan, you should just stick with it. Don't change horses midstream, because the next phase is when you start to feel great, you know? And the last, you know, the next week that the training effect kicks in, and you feel great. You know, last week my training effect kicked in, and I felt really great. So what did my big brain tell me to do? Well, my big brain jumped in with this incredibly dumb conclusion based on this perception, like, gee, if 12 miles in the snow felt easy, you should go do 20 next weekend. Yeah, that's it. You should run hills, yeah. And I've seen too many people just sacrifice their race dreams right there in week 3 or 4 of the training plan when I start to feel good and the training effect kicks in because I feel great. And they decided to take their new car for a drive, and next thing you know, you're sitting on the couch with a bag of frozen peas duct taped to your ankle. So that's my warning for you. Moral of the story, if you built a good plan, stick to it. And if you have some serious doubts, you know, ask somebody who knows, ask a veteran. So I'll tell you a funny story from this week. I wanted to do a Yasso workout, Yasso 800s on the treadmill, and I guess I'm a little distracted because I just without thinking about it, I did my math wrong, and I wanted to do 320 halves, right? So instead, I started doing halves at a 620 pace. Somehow I mixed it up, which is a difference of like 30 seconds a mile. It's a big difference. And I was wondering why it felt so hard. I messed up the pacing math in my head. Amazingly enough, it actually turned out okay, because it was like a stress test. You know, once I figured out what was going on, I was trying to figure out, okay, what's wrong? Is it my legs? Is it my heart? Is it my lungs? And by sort of running to failure, I got to figure out that, you know, my conditioning's pretty good in terms of my aerobic base, because my lungs weren't what was giving me trouble. My legs were giving out first. So, you know, I actually learned something. So, you know, in the end, I got a great workout. Didn't get the workout I wanted, but I got a great workout, and I ended up with a bit of diagnostic on what I need to work on, so.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Inspiration.
Yay.
When I first started running, I'd notice that I'd have good days and bad days, right? And I could never tell when I was going to get one or the other. You'd start, you'd feel good, and then it would be a bad run. You feel terrible, or you're sick, and it ends up being a good run. So it's hard to tell. It's hard to forecast. So I find myself out in the run and struggling, you know, in the middle of a workout or a run. And I'd start getting whiny, you know, and getting all depressed. And what I learned to do when I noticed myself trying to feel crappy in the middle of a run, you know, stop, take a deep breath, and just sort of reset yourself and say, you know what, the fact that I'm out here, I'm doing it, it really doesn't matter how I feel. There are people who would dream of being able to do what I can do. And then once I reset to the fact that, you know, any run is a good run, then I could just resume my struggle with a smile on my face. And by the way, here's an extra credit tip for you. I know you're going to think I'm lunatic, and you won't believe me, but you should try it and see if it works for you. When you're struggling out on a run or maybe the end of a long run, try forcing yourself to smile. Like force a physically smile. And you may find, this works sometimes, you may find the act of smiling will actually improve your form and also serves to release happy chemicals. And you'll feel better. You'll feel empowered. So give it a try. Sounds silly, give it a try. Okay, folks, that's it. Episode 51 in the can. All lights are green and everything's going to be okay. Hey, I get an email from Jody from Confessions of a Runner just now, and I'm not going to be a spoiler here, but go download her next episode for some great positive affirmation and drama, or go to her website, confessionsofarunner.com, and you'll see what I mean. And next week, I have the guys from Zappos Shoes scheduled. And the reason I wanted to talk to these guys is they're like a case study in internet business, like a Harvard Business School case study. So we're going to learn something there. Should be interesting. And I'm also talking with my buddy Kevin, one of my Tweety friends. He does this website called justfinish.com, and we're going to do something cool once he gets his site cooking. Rumor also has it that it's time for me to hook up with Carno. Yeah, that's right. And I don't know if I can get back in touch with him, but it'd be cool if I can. And I promise I won't ask him, gee, Dean, why do you do it? I won't ask him, even though he's probably good at answering that by now. And speaking of things I haven't done or won't do, here's a quick list for you. Just want to make sure I'm getting credit for this stuff, for keeping it real. So I didn't make you suffer through an Olympic exercise episode trying to pronounce, like, the names of East German athletes and stuff. I didn't do a New Year's resolution show. Make you suffer through that. I didn't do the My Favorite Podcast show. Haven't done that. Didn't do a Halloween, Thanksgiving, or Christmas show. Although I may do something for the Dragon Boat Festival in the Lunar New Year. I kind of like the feel of that. We're keeping it real over here, Runner Live. We want to get credit for that. All right, music tonight as I let you go off into the running wilderness with your dog pulling you in the freezing cold. Hopefully. Its music is by Left Arm, and it's called Love Blast. I think Buddy's on the scent of Coyote. That's why he's pulling me around. Love Blast, and it sounds like a little bit of Led Zeppelin riff snuck in here, so give it good. Give it good. I know it's cold outside, guys, but I'm sure I will still see you hardcore endorphin addicts out there. Ciao, baby. Sweet.
Thanks for listening to the Run Run Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line and I will see you out there.
Run, run, live. The podcast for all your running needs.